The finance ministers of the G20 began a two-day meeting in Paris today to discuss, among other things, the possibility of a new food crisis. A recent World Bank report says that about 44 million people in developing countries have slipped into poverty on account of soaring prices of food items. President Nicolas Sarkozy of the host nation France is advocating more regulation of international markets to help stem the tide of rising prices. But the head of the Rome office of the Acton Institute for the Study of Religion and Liberty, Kishore Jayabalan, told Charles Collins that government ministers should be careful before interfering in the market.
I think there's probably very little that the G20 finance ministers can do at this point. The first thing I would do, and I mean this very seriously, and I think it's very unlikely to happen, is that if finance ministers could see the problems with quantitative easing in response to the financial crisis, that might be the first step in resolving the problem, because what we have is a classic bubble in commodities. And a lot of this can be attributed to a number of economic factors, such as increased demand, especially coming from Asia, where you have a lot of new wealth being created, and so people are demanding more wheat and more commodities because they can afford them. You also have a decreased supply because of factors like the floods in Australia. It's not surprising to see some increase in food prices. But I would say that a bubble also is being created by what central banks have done, especially in the United States, to keep interest rates low, and this has increased the amount of speculation that's taking place in a lot of commodity markets and driving up the price of commodities all over the world. And this, of course, is leading to higher food prices. Now, governments should be very concerned about higher food prices. It's no mistake to say that a lot of what's happening in the Middle East is taking place because of higher food prices. And the same thing happened in 2007, 2008, when higher food prices led to a lot of political unrest in many countries in the world, especially in poorer countries, because poor people tend to spend much more of their income on food than richer people. Something like 75% of their incomes go to food, where 10 or 15% of a richer person's income will go to food. So the poor are much more affected by these kind of wide fluctuations and price volatility in commodity markets.
You mentioned an earlier food crisis just about 3 years ago. Can you tell us a little bit more about what caused that that crisis and how the world overcame it?
Well, in 2007, 2008, you had a very similar situation, I would say, without the quantitative easing brought on by the financial crisis, increased demand, restricted supply. And, I should say that something like increased demand being caused by greater wealth in Asia is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with people enjoying higher standards of living, but that is going to have consequences, especially when you have farmers not being able to meet that increased demand right away. It takes quite a bit of time, especially outside of the United States, to turn land that's being idle into productive capacities and into productive uses. So, after a while, the supply can go to meet the demand. So you will see a bump in prices like in 2007, 2008, followed by a decline in prices once the supply can meet the demand, because farmers need to be able to plan. And when a crop is selling for an all-time high, they can shift production into that crop and the prices should drop. So I think that's a lot of what happened in 2007, 2008. Supply eventually caught up with demand. You also had the financial crisis happen at the second half of 2008. So that is going to, I would say, also add pressure to declining prices in agriculture once you have a bubble. But what's happening now is that you're also seeing people blame speculators for the crisis, not only in 2007, 2008, but also the current one. And I think that's a really mistaken thing to do, especially for government ministers, because they should know very well. Their education is good enough where they should be able to see that speculators actually help farmers plan for the future. And if speculators weren't in the market, in the financial markets and derivative markets, farmers would be much more reluctant to produce new crops because they wouldn't be able to tell what the weather is going to be like, let's say, next year or the year down the road. And all speculators do is provide some kind of an insurance scheme for farmers to sell their crops at a certain price. And that makes it much easier to meet the increased demand. So in a way, speculators can help us resolve the problem more than are the root of the problem. The problem we're seeing now with quantitative easing is that it's actually encouraging even more quick and easy speculation, I would say, right? Because you have more money sloshing around in a system, and there's not a lot of productive places to put it, so it'll go into places where prices seem to be shooting up outrageously, and commodities is one area that's taking place. So, my central recommendation to the central bankers meeting for the G20 would be actually to quit their financial stimulus packages and get rid of the quantitative easing that has led to a lot of this bubble taking place.
There have been some people who have also complained about, for example, the United States, a large portion of crops are being diverted to other uses, for example, in creating biofuels. Is it a real issue, or is it not really going to affect the price of food in the end?
I think things like biofuels were probably a bigger issue in the previous food crisis and less so now. I think, you know, there's been an understanding that the biofuel movement is not necessarily a wise investment for the future. But a lot of this misallocation of resources takes place as a result of government intervention. When governments give subsidies for things like biofuel investments, it will divert some resources in that direction, and they wouldn't have otherwise gone there because farmers would much rather produce profitable crops than unprofitable crops. And that seems like common sense to most people. But when governments start subsidizing unproductive and unprofitable behavior, you're going to see more of it. And when they start taxing productive behavior, you're going to see less of it. So again, I would caution any government minister to think they know which way the economy is going. And I would rather let markets sort out the increased demand coming from places like Asia and the reduced supply because of weather, and let speculators and producers and consumers try to decide what is the most optimal and efficient use of resources and what's the best price for a product. Because, again, no government official has the requisite knowledge. It would be impossible to know all of the factors that go into setting prices. And, unfortunately, this is what, you know, including the French president Sarkozy, has started saying that we need to have more regulation in these markets. Now, again, that presumes an amount of knowledge that no one has, and especially a government minister, to be able to set prices, and it's just going to make the problem worse. So again, you know, I would caution and ask for some more humility, among the finance ministers who have partly contributed to this mess in the first place.